Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsyth. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
Feel like, and it's almost a fitting thing to ask when we talk about Ava Care and Change for Life and making a difference in our community. I didn't even realize the statistics were that high for our area in Virginia, having such a high rate of unplanned pregnancies and abortions. What a shame. We need to be able to do something about that. Sometimes I almost think, well, what difference can we make? Do you ever get that mentality? I think sometimes the devil puts that in our minds of, are you really making a difference? Are you causing any effect in this life? Is anything slowing down a little bit because of what you are doing? I think that's really where we're going to look this morning. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 will be our opening passage, but we'll look at one little boy that made a difference, one little girl that made a difference, one woman that made a difference, one man that made a difference, and of course, one Savior that brought about redemption, the true difference in our life this morning. I don't know if you ever feel like you're not making a difference, but I want to remind you, you are. And you can. The title of the sermon this morning is The Ripples That We Make. As a little kid, I always loved to go to Lake Shenandoah and be able to, well, some of you probably think he went over there to go fishing. Not really. I do remember most of my attempts at fishing were pretty poor, hooking my dad one time in his pants before, where I'm looking out there going, where did it go? And my dad's going, ow! You know, my cast was pretty bad apparently. Fishing wasn't much better. But one thing I did enjoy doing over at Lake Shenandoah was casting rocks. You know, it's interesting as a little boy to be able to throw a stone into the water. Be able to watch to see what happens next. What happens? That little teeny stone hits the water and begins to make a little bit of an impact on the water surface there. If it's a nice calm day, nice placid, very glassy looking lake there or whatever, you begin to notice the difference more and more. As that pebble hits the water, a little ripple starts to form. And as it continues to go out, it seems like it continues to become bigger and bigger and bigger as it goes out. A lot of times we ask ourselves the question, are we making any difference in this life? Is there any reason for what I am doing? I mean, I work, I tell others, I try to be a faithful Christian. Am I making a difference? And I want to encourage you this morning. You are. You're making a difference. And by the way, we can make a bigger difference in this life. The more we give ourselves and our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, He can do things that are in and through us that we would not even begin to understand. Notice these words in Proverbs 11, verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous, the fruit of the righteous, what you get back. Okay, the fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Have you ever said to yourself, I really want to be wise? Well, the Bible describes a wise person. A wise Christian will take advantage of the opportunities that God gives him. A wise Christian will think about the souls of other people. Can we make a difference in this community? Is it possible? Maybe you look at yourself and you feel like you're pretty small, pretty insignificant, maybe not that intelligent, maybe not that gifted, maybe not that wealthy, maybe not that, and we plug in a lot of other things that we say, well, it's just little old me here. I can't make a big difference, can I? My friends, you really can, because it's not you. It is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ working in and through you that will make the difference in life. There are a lot of people in this world today that believe that their life does not make a difference in this world. And you know what? Mean old Mr. Devil really does discourage us and try to get us down with that statement. We can make a difference. You know, it's sort of like a penny. I have a penny in my pocket. Most of us would say it's just one penny. And today with inflation and everything else, it's so invaluable that most of us probably if we saw it in a parking lot, we wouldn't even take the time to pick it up. It's just a penny. It's just something small. But you know what? Pennies do add up, don't they? Just one little thing. Just one little thing. Let me ask you a question. And I'm not the person that does all the math behind this. Who of us in here would prefer a million dollars today
Or, I think most of us would say, you can stop right there. I prefer $1 million today. Go ahead and credit to me. Give me the check. Put it in my bank account or whatever. Transfer it to me. Yes, I would appreciate that. Or the second thought would be, how many of us would appreciate a penny today? $1 million today or a penny today? Now, there's one qualification with the penny today aspect. What if I gave you a penny today and then tomorrow I doubled it, okay? And then the next day after that, I doubled that. And for 31 days, could you wait 31 days to find out how many pennies that I would give you? You say it's just one little penny. It's insignificant. It's not much. Actually, if you opted for the $1 million today, you would have been doing yourself a disfavor. Because after 31 days, and it multiplied, doubled every single day for 31 days, like I told you, I'm not the mathematician. Somebody else did the math on this. You'd have $10,737,418.24 at the end of the month. Wow. That's a lot, isn't it? It's just one penny, one little thing, right? You know, the fact is, when we get into God's math, little things like you and I really can make a difference. Little things like you and I, when used by a great and mighty God, really can have a difference in this world. We can make ripples that will last for years and years to come. When we think about over 8 billion people in this world, I don't know about you, but when I think about that number, I think it just sounds impossible. How can our generation ever reach this world? How? It's impossible. So sometimes when we say it's impossible, we just sort of give up and we say, well, if I can't reach the world, or we can't reach the world in this generation, 8 billion people, we must not even try. You know what? That's a defeated attitude, isn't it? The fact is, though, that every second, approximately 2 people die. Does that concern us? Every hour, almost 200 people die. People are slipping into a Christless eternity all the time. And you know what? If we reach out and help somebody, we make a difference in that somebody's life. You're just one. But when God works in and through us, we can do incredible things. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." The fact is, all of us are making a difference. All of us are making ripples in life. Now, I encourage you today to follow the example of the little boy, the little girl, the woman, the man that we're going to talk about. But the fact is, make a difference. Try to get out there. Try to be a part of making a difference for good. You say, well, I don't know if I can. Guess what? You will be making a ripple effect in this life, either for the bad or for the good. I would hope each and every one of us had the desire for the good today. If your life was a book of the Bible, what story would be written about you? You know what? As I look back through the New Testament, thinking about different Bible characters, the one that always sticks out to me is a young man named Andrew. Man, what a wonderful name. Andrew. Why, you say? Well, he wasn't mentioned a lot in the New Testament. But every time he was mentioned, he was always bringing someone to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Have our life story written? Well, he was an Andrew. He was always bringing someone to Jesus Christ. I was talking with a person before the service, and the fact is, this is our generation. This is our opportunity. This is the moment that we and you and I get to be able to make a difference. There's ones that have went on before us. I think of many, many godly people that have sat in these pews before that are now in the glories of heaven, but they were soul winners. I shouldn't even begin to mention names, but I think of Ken Heischman and how he was always telling somebody about Jesus Christ. He was bold in his witness. I was also thinking about, and by the way, I went to a funeral the other day, and a local pastor said, "Oh yes, I know your church. Your church had that lady that was in the nursing home that would tell everybody about Jesus." I said, "Oh, are you talking about Miss Helen Calkin?" He said, "Yes, yes." You know, what a tribute. They're with the Lord. They've done their duty. They've told their people about the Lord. My friends, this is the time for us to fill the roles of those people that have went on before. This is our generation. This is our chance to make a ripple effect in this life and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. We can't just rest in the fact that somebody else will probably tell. No, the opportunity, the task is ours. What are we going to do? The power of one. Joshua chapter 23, verse 10 through 11 says, "One man of you." This was the encouragement that God gave to the people of Israel. Listen to this. "One man of you, one man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed thereunto on yourself, that ye love the Lord your God." How in the world are you going to be able to chase 1,000? How are you going to accomplish something for Jesus Christ? He says, Israelites, you're going to have to love the Lord your God. Out of your love for the Lord, then is going to flow the ultimate aspect of being able to tell others, being a blessing in your generation, making a ripple effect that will last for eternity. Joshua, one man of you. You know what? You say, "It's just me. It's a little old me, Lord. What can I do?" You can be used. He says, "I just need one man. I need one woman. I need one boy. I need one girl that is willing and available." Often we're overwhelmed by the sense of personal insignificance. Listen to these words of Helen Keller, a lady who was blind and deaf. She said, "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. Because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do." What has God put before you? What is the thing that you can do? Do it! Accomplish it! Whatever the Holy Spirit has laid upon your heart as a Christian, accomplish that task. He will show you it's not all about you. It's not all about me. It is God working in and through us. So first of all this morning, we're looking at one little boy. One little boy. What can one little boy? We often think that age has something to do with serving the Lord. Sometimes we put in our minds, "Well, when I become this old, I'm going to start serving the Lord." By the way, teenager, young person, kid, if you have that mentality that one day when I become an adult, I'm going to start serving the Lord, you have been fooled by the devil. He wants you to start right now. He wants you to get busy while you are young. You can do an incredible thing in your church, in your generation, as one young person, one little boy, instrumental in feeding 5,000. And I mark him down today, if you're taking notes, as availability. Availability. One little boy, he was available. If you will, turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In your scriptures, it's always good to hear those pages turning. John chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Says these words, one of the disciples, verse 8, by the way, here's we hit Andrew again. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." But even Andrew, although he brought him to Jesus Christ, he did ask the question, "But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. That's just recording the men, okay? If there was women and children there, and most likely there were, we often call this the feeding of the 5,000, but most likely it was the feeding of the multi-thousand. It says in verse 11, Jesus took the loaves. By the way, when you make yourself available, when you give your lunch to Jesus, he takes what you have. When he had given thanks, he of course points back to where our good things come from that we give back to him. He points back to heaven. It says he distributed to disciples and disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. As much as people wanted that day, they were fed of bread and fish till they could not eat anymore. Boy, Andrew's question of, but what are they among so many? Really, it wasn't the boy. It wasn't the lunch. It was a story about our great Lord and what he can do in and through something that is little. You say, wow, just a little boy. But he made himself available. He gave his lunch to Jesus Christ that day. And because he did that, many were fed. Their physical need was met on that day, opening an opportunity for Jesus to be able to continue to minister in the hearts and lives of these people. Some heard, some believed. Others, we find in the scriptures, returned because they wanted another free lunch. The fact is, though, Jesus had that opportunity open to him because a boy that was available. He was willing to give his, what he had, to Jesus Christ. How about you today? You think about, am I making a difference in this life? I don't know what you have that has been given to you, that you have in your hands today. Maybe it's just a little lunch. Are you willing to give it up and see what the Master can do in and through your life today? One little boy, instrumental in feeding 5,000, he gives us the picture of availability. God uses what you have to fill a need, which you can never have filled. Think about that. God uses what you have to fill a need which you could have never filled. This little boy could have went around that day and said, I have a lunch, anybody hungry? I have a lunch, anybody hungry? And he could have fed just a couple people. But instead of doing it himself, he allowed God to work in and through him. And that's when great things were accomplished. You know, the fact is, you may have a little bit in your hands today, and you might try in your own good efforts to accomplish something, but never invite Jesus Christ into the work in your life. How foolish if we do that. We say, here, everybody look at this. I'm going to give my little lunch to those who need today. And you know what? That sounds like a noble thing. But it'd be much better to give it to the Lord first and then let him do the distribution through your life instead of trying to accomplish that work to bring glory. Why? Most of us do it that way, to bring glory to self. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us not do that. You know what? It's not based on your ability. A lot of us look at our ability and we say, boy, I don't have much, Lord. So since I don't have much, I probably shouldn't do much. No, don't look at your ability. What we need to be looking at is our availability. Little as much when God is in it. Are you available for the Master to use you? Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8 said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, my friend in the pew beside me will go. Is that what the Bible says? No. Isaiah says, here am I. Send me. I volunteer. I am available. Isaiah said it. We must say it as well. Make yourself available to God to do anything he asks of you seeking not the gifts, but seeking the giver himself. He can do great and mighty things through you. So first of all, we looked at a little boy with availability. Okay? We now look at a little girl. One little girl, instrumental in healing a world military leader. Why? Because of her boldness. Because of her boldness. So the little boy, write down your notes, it's his availability that God used. The little girl, it's the boldness that God used. If you will, look at 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. And I think you have to put yourself in this situation to understand the boldness that she really did possess to be able to speak up. She was just a little girl. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was, and note it, it says, a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he had a problem. He was a leper. Oh my. My friends, that word right there, he was a leper, said that he had a death sentence. He had an incurable disease. Back in those times, it didn't matter how important he was going to have to go to a leper colony. He was going to have to live out his life in isolation. He was going to have to live out his life in misery. There was nothing that he could do. I'm sure he probably consulted with the most wealthy doctors that were there. But he was a leper. Basically said he had no hope. Verse 2 says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. I love the way the Bible puts in there, in the beautiful wording, a little maid. The Bible didn't try to make her out to be some big, powerful, glorious person. It told it like it was. She was just a little maid. You may be here today and you feel like, I'm just a little, and you fill in the blank. Guess what? God can use you. If you have the availability of the little boy and the boldness of a little girl. Goes on to say, she was just a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. I have a piece of news, ma'am. I think I have a solution for you. I have good news. By the way, if you have the gospel this morning, you have good news. If you just feel like you're somebody little, speak up and be bold, because there's somebody that needs to hear the good news of the gospel. She was bold enough to speak up, and I began to play this through my mind this morning, early this morning, and I was thinking, you know what? If this Naaman had continued to have leprosy and he died off, this could have been a good possibility for her. She might not have been a servant anymore. By helping out Naaman, she pretty much guaranteed her fate that she would continue to be a servant girl, most likely the rest of her life. It really wasn't in her advantage to tell about the good news, the help that he could find. But instead, she boldly spoke up and she said, if my master would do this here. And of course, you know the end of the story. He went down. He wanted something. He found healing and cleansing, all because of the good news of a little girl that was bold enough to stand up and say, I think there is a solution. You've consulted all of the doctors. You've pursued all the avenues. You are without hope, but I think there's still hope down in Israel with the one living and true God. You know what? It is not based upon our ability but based upon our availability. It's not based upon what you think about yourself. It's based upon the fact that if you're willing to have a little bit of boldness, God will do the rest of the work in and through you. Okay? He says, I'm going to be with you in that hour. I will give you the words to say that you know not of. I will provide for you. Lo, I am with you. Just have some boldness and speak up. The story goes, and you may have heard it years ago, it takes guts to say Jesus. Apparently it's a true story, something that happened a few years ago at the University of Southern California. There was a professor of philosophy there who was deeply committed as an atheist. His primary goal for one required class was to spend the entire semester attempting to prove that God could not exist. His students were always afraid to argue with him because of his impeccable logic. You ever come up against a person like that, that you felt inferior because of their smarts? Says, goes on to say, for 20 years, he had taught this class and no one had ever had the courage to go against him. Sure, some had argued in class at times, but no one ever really had went up against him. You see, nobody would go against him because he had a reputation. At the end of every semester, on the last day, he would always say to the class of 300 students, if there is anyone here who still believes in God, stand up. In 20 years, nobody had ever stood up. They knew what he was going to do next. His reputation preceded him. He would say, because anyone who believes in God is a fool. If God existed, he could stop this piece of chalk from hitting the ground and breaking. Such a simple task to prove he is God, and yet he can't do it. And every year he would drop the chalk onto the tile floor of the classroom, and it would shatter into hundreds of pieces. All the students could do nothing but stop and stare. Most of the students were convinced that God could not exist. Certainly, a number of Christians had slipped through, but for 20 years, they had been too afraid to stand up. A few years ago, there was a freshman who had happened to get enrolled in the class. He was a Christian and had heard the stories about this professor. He had to take the class because it was one of the required classes for his major, and he was afraid. But for 3 months that semester, he prayed every morning that he would have the courage to stand up no matter what the professor said or what the class thought. Nothing they said or did could ever shatter his faith, he hoped. Finally, the day came. The professor said, if there's anyone here who still believes in God, stand up. The professor and the class of 300 looked at him, shocked as he stood up at the back of the room. The professor shouted out, you fool! If nothing I have said all semester has convinced you that God does not exist, then you are a fool. If God existed, he could keep this piece of chalk from breaking when it hit the ground. He proceeded to drop the chalk, but as he did, it slipped out of his fingers, off of his shirt cuff, onto the pleat of his pants, down his leg, and off his shoe. And as it hit the ground, it simply rolled away and broken. The professor's jaw dropped as he stared at the chalk. He looked up at the young man and then ran out of the lecture hall. The young man who had stood up proceeded to walk to the front of the classroom and share his faith in Christ for the next half hour. 300 students stayed and listened as he told of God's love for them and his power through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't have boldness, do we? We know that 300 people around us, looking at us, watching us, would cause us to say, you know what, maybe another day. Maybe somebody else will stand up. Maybe, oh, think about Luke chapter 12 and verse 8. It's a convicting verse to me. Also I say unto you, whosoever confesses me before men, him will the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Lord, help us while we're here on this earth, while we have the opportunity that we have to confess Him, to make a difference in this world, to make a ripple effect. One little boy, he had availability for the Lord. One little girl had boldness to be able to stand up and give the answer, the hope that that great military leader needed. One woman, instrumental in giving, I'm sorry, in saving a nation with courage. One lady, Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. Actually, looking back at verse 13, says, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." One woman, instrumental in saving a whole nation, all because of courage. You know what? She could have said, "I think I like my position where I'm at. I love my people, but I cannot do this for my people." Mordecai reminded her, "You're not going to escape. Even though you're in the palace, it's going to come back to you eventually. Maybe you're come to the kingdom for such a time as this." My challenge to you today is, have you come to this time period for such a time as this? We often say, not reflecting about anything on the past of People's Baptist Church. In the past, we've had some great days, but we cannot rest in the great days of this church. We often say the best days are still to come. I truly believe that, because if we get busy and we serve the Lord in our community, great days are ahead of us. We cannot rest on the fact our building has been paid off. Praise the Lord to that. But we don't rest in the laurels of that. We say, praise the Lord, great things He hath done. What more can we see God do in and through this church in Harrisonburg and in this community and around the world? One lady with courage. Courage is almost a contradiction in terms. It means a strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. Esther understood, if I speak up, I may die, but I'm going to have the courage and the boldness to speak up. And because she did, she saved her people. Philippians 4, verse 13, with courage, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. One man with courage makes a majority, Andrew Jackson said. Listen to the words of Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Write that verse down in your notes. Go back to it. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong. Use that good courage. He it is that doth go with thee. When you need courage, you need boldness, you presented your availability before the Lord, realize He goes with us. When you're willing to speak up, when you're willing to share with a coworker, when we're willing to give out a gospel tract, God goes with you. It's not you, it's the Lord. One man, one little boy, one little girl, one woman, one man instrumental in saving mankind from extinction. And that comes down to faith. Availability, boldness, courage, faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, they'd never seen rain, they'd never seen anything that was going to transpire, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of their thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Wow. The fact is, we need to have faith and realize it's not us. It is the Lord that is going to do great and mighty things through us. I point out also, not just one little boy, one little girl, one woman with courage, one man of faith. We also have, and this is the thing that is key for all of us, is one Savior with redemption. One Savior. Can one person make a difference? Yes. One boy, one girl, one woman, one man. But one Savior, that's all it took. We didn't have to have multiple Saviors. We didn't have to have multiple means of saving us. One Savior, the man Christ Jesus, he was foundational in redemption to buy back from the slave market of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." That one man was Adam. "And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." All of us, if we understand and we see ourselves who we really are, we are sinners. By nature, receiving that human nature from Adam, we're also sinners by choice. The fact is, we were born with a sinful human nature, but you know what? In the heart of man is that desire to sin. All of us want to go after the wrong thing. All of us want to pursue our own way. There's not one person in here or in this world that has a desire to just do right. We all have a bent towards sin. We all have a bent towards doing wrong. So when can a person be saved? When a person sees that there is a holy, righteous God in heaven, and our sin has offended that God, and that there is no hope for any of us. Have you ever come to that conclusion? There's no hope for me. I am undone. I am in my sin. It's not just because that I curse or I drink or I do bad things, but I've offended a holy God. I've broken the commandments of God. Every time I think about God of this universe and who I am, I'm appalled at who I am. Oh, I'm undone. Fact is, we have to come to that conclusion. By the way, if you think you're a good person, unfortunately, your good works, God says, they are as filthy rags in my sight. You think you're doing good, you're not. You think that you can merit heaven someday on your own, you cannot. You will fall short. Oh, the thought, like Judas, we shared with it on the teenagers on Wednesday night, how Judas came so close, and by his betrayal kiss, he kissed the door of heaven. Got that close. Because Jesus Christ said, "I am the door. I am the door of heaven." He kissed the door of heaven. And the Bible says he went to his own place. How sad. You know what? If you are apart from God, you'll go to your own place as well. God's prepared heaven as a perfect place. Cannot allow sin into heaven. Not one bit. One little sin would make heaven not a perfect place anymore. It'd be corrupt. God prepared hell for the devil and his angels. If you're not going to be in heaven, there's only one other place that you would spend all of eternity. And just like Judas, you can come today and hear a gospel message, kiss the door of heaven, be this close, and depart saying, no, I'll have it my own way. I'll try to get there myself. I'll try with my own good works to make it there. And you will miss heaven and split hell wide open. Oh, my friend, don't do that. There is redemption that has been provided for you. Jesus Christ offered himself. He shed his precious blood. Some people said, how much did God love us? He stretched out his hands and said, this is how much I love you. Amen. And he offered himself. Why would he do that? I don't know. I can't get a grasp of it. Why would a holy, righteous God ever give himself for little old me, a sinner? I don't know. But I sure am very grateful for what he did for me. Amen. He provided a way to heaven. I can tell you, based on the scriptures, this is my accountability factor. This is my proof of how I know I'm going to heaven. Based on the authority of God's word, I know heaven will be my home. Okay? When you read in the newspaper pages that Jay Hanger has died, don't believe a word of it. I'll be more alive that day than ever before. There will be a place and there will be hope for any who follow. The fact is, Jesus Christ made redemption as a possibility. In our closing today, I want you to know that you can make a difference in this world. If one little boy, one little girl, one woman, one man would take the aspect of availability or boldness, courage, faith, and accept what Jesus Christ did through his redemptive work, every one of us can make a difference. There's four motives in life. All of us live by these different motives of why we do what we do. Some of us do things out of fear. We feel like we have to, okay? Sometimes we do what we do out of reward. We're going to hopefully get something in return. Some of us use the motive of duty. We just know it is our duty and our task to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. But there's also a fourth reason why we do what we do. And this is the strongest and the highest and the best motivation in all of life. That's not fear, it's not reward, it's not duty, it's love. Because God loved us, we are willing to reflect that love to other people. You say, how can we reach this world? It seems impossible. Are you willing to throw a pebble in the pond of life and to see how God can take a little bit and make it into large ripples that continue to extend beyond your lifetime? Most of what we do in this life probably will not be known by us when it comes to the cause of Christ. Probably eternity will tell much of what happens that we invest in our ripples. You know what? I conclude with this thought. We have gospel tracts out there in the rack. If every one of us in here today took a gospel tract and said, you know what? I'd love to make a commitment. I'd love to do this. I'd love to be able to give out one gospel tract per day for all year long. That'd be 365 tracts. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It really does. Let's say, for example, though, that I had 10,000 tracts up here, right here. And we said, how could we give these out this year? And you said, well, 10,000 tracts, just looking around, I think, Brother Jay, it's impossible. Well, actually, if you do the math, if every one of us in here, and I base my number based on 150 people, if everybody in here would make that commitment of one tract per day for 365 days, we wouldn't pass out 10,000 tracts. We would pass out 54,000 tracts. Do you realize that's almost enough to reach everybody in the city of Harrisonburg? A lot of times we look at Harrisonburg and we say, boy, it's a great city. It's not too large, it's not too small. But some of us think it's large enough, we just can't accomplish it when it comes to the Great Commission of giving out the good news. It's too big! Guess what? When we do multiplication on God's way, it's possible. God working in and through us, anything is possible. How about you? Would you say, I'm just one little boy? I'm one little girl. I'm just one woman. I'm just one man. You know what? If you have availability, if you have boldness, if you have courage, if you have faith in what God can do, God can use you this very week. May we take that challenge to heart today and make some ripples in other people's lives, in our community, this very week. Lord, help us. Lord, we come to you today asking for your help. Lord, we know it's not of us. We know that anything that is done has to be only your power working in and through us. Lord, we know that little is much when God is in it. Lord, help us not to do things in our own strength today, but Lord, help us to truly accomplish your great work through what you would have us do. Lord, we often read of the stories, the Old and New Testament, and think, well, those were good in those days. Lord, help us to realize that you're still working this day and age. In Jesus' name.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.